There's an almost exclusive emphasis on scanner monitoring. Our thanks to Steve, WB2WAK, for the use of UAP. 24 hours a day to all licensed amateurs. There were two inputs to the repeater, the down 600 input, which calls for no PL. When we are in the net mode, and we are in the net mode, there is the 600 up, which calls for a PL of 136.5. We encourage all stations in New York City and New Jersey to use the upper input so as not to cause interference to the 805 repeater in New Jersey. Taping the net is encouraged, and this is the net of March 5th, 1996. It is the policy of the net not to pass any sensitive frequencies, commonly known as unpublished or ongoing investigation frequencies. Basically, no law enforcement frequencies that could endanger a police officer's life. Also, we ask you to be mindful of federal and state laws. It's against the law to reveal to any other person, not a party to transmissions, the contents of those transmissions. It's against the law to intercept remote radio, TV broadcast pickups, and mobile telephone conversations of any type. And please bear in mind state laws on cordless and cellular calls. In the net tonight, we will handle the following items, in the following order. First business will be scanner information. When all that has been passed, we will then go into product information. After that, we will have AM DXing. And at the end, we will have shortwave utilities. And we do not pass shortwave broadcast information. Fan mail, that is mail from our listeners, will be worked into the net as we go through it. We ask that when you check into the net, in addition to your call letters, please give us your first name and let us know if you are just listening, if you have information, or if you have a query. Anybody who would like to check into the net, please come now.
With traffic.
Man 2, GCN Hank with traffic.
Dale, good evening, guys. No traffic.
Man 2, GCN Hank with traffic.
WA2BWM, Ron Franklin Square with a scanner query. And going to open a big can of worms tonight.
WB2PPC, Frank and Kopeck just listening.
And 2RZG, Dick, just listening.
VGF, Ron, quick scanner query.
Okay, sounds good. Into VRA with info, I think that was Steve in there, there was a little bit of doubling. Into YGH with info, Hank into GCN with info. B was in there, W2PBH, Ron with a can of worms. Obviously, we're going fishing tonight, and he has a query, WA2BWF, WB2PPC into RZG into VGF, Ron with a query. Nice way to get started. Let's take one more call-up, and then we'll get right into the action. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come now.
YYI, listening.
KB2, listening with Prompt Info, Prompt Query.
All right, we had a few doubles there. I believe that was Bob in there, N2YYI. Bob had sent in some information, and Bob will talk about your note a little bit later on. There was a KB2 station, and then there was an Ernie station, a URU. So I'll tell you what, the KB2 station, would you please try again?
KB2 Uniform Victor Victor with product info and product query.
N2 URU. Ramsey, New Jersey. Name is Ernie. Just listening.
WA2FBB. Listening. Wally.
Okay. Charlie, one of these days is I'm going to be able to recognize the call immediately. KB2UVV with info and query. Ernie from New Jersey. Ernie, you have a beautiful station. you sound like you are next door. Must be a beam antenna or whatever. Just sounds real good. N2URU and WA2FBB. I'll drop it, and hearing nothing, we will then move right up to the top of the list and get into the action tonight.
Product info.
And that was Curtis in WWM with product info. All right, what I'll try to do, my memory being rather lacking, as I said, the first thing that we'll go through will be the scanner info. And if I happen to call on you and it's product, you could just sort of remind me. Okay, Curtis, then there. Let's go up to the top of the list, then to VRA in the net, WB2RBA.
Good evening, Ed, into the net, N2VRA here. A little bit under the weather, but I'll do the best I can. Got tons of info over here. Let me see and try and keep it in perspective with the net. I have two product things over here that I wanted to mention, but I'll, when you open that part of net, I'll bring it up then at that time. Also another announcement that I have. Okay, to some general information. The NOAA weather alert is transmitted every Wednesday morning between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. as a test signal. Last Wednesday, the test signal was heard at 10:06 a.m., and 2 weeks ago, it was heard at 10:35 a.m. This is an opportunity to test the alert function on the scanner, or alert function on your home weather radio receiver. And I also found out, and I was speaking to Curtis about this, there is a Uniden distributor located in Hicksville under the name of ERS Distributing. But the big quo here is that, unfortunately, they don't sell to the public. They strictly sell to retail outlets. So I thought maybe we could get our shoe in the door there and get a discount, but nada. Curtis, as long as you're on there, just let me mention this fast. I heard you talking this morning on the 8-5 machine to KB2UMW, Jim. And he was asking questions about the shuttle down in Florida. And this is the general information for the net also. Down in Florida, you can hear the shuttle landing on two frequencies. If you're within 200 miles of where it comes down, and those frequencies are 259.7, 259.7, and 296.8. Drop. This was a real gangbuster of the day for military aero. It, I wish Bob could check in, N1MLZ, I'm sure he's listening. And today was quite a day up there. I have some frequencies over here. I'll give you these first, and I'll give you my loggings for the day. This is military aero in the AM mode. Here are some of the frequencies. These are the ones that have been pretty active in the last 3 weeks. And Charlie, KB2UVV, this will help fill up your 890 scanner and all those other people out there that have military capability receive 225 to 400 meg. Okay, some of the active ones in the last 3 weeks, these are all confirmed. 286.7, 286.7, 317.7, 317.7, 381.6, 381.6, 251.25, 287.5, 287.5, 340.8, 340.8, 385.5, 385.5, 348.7, 348.7, drop, 303.0, 303.0. Interestingly enough, 303.0 is a tactical frequency, and I'll mention in a couple of minutes, I heard a refueling operation on there today. 381.8, 381.8, 342.5, 342.5, 364.2, 364.2, 319.4, excellent frequency also, 319.4, 282.3, 282.3, 386.2, 386.2, 286.2, 286.2, drop. QVRA in the net. 233.6, 233.6, 349.4, 349.4, 273.4, 273.4, 301.6, 301.6, 243.0, 243.0, 378.1, 378.1, 372.2, 372.2, three more on this list. Everybody's awake, I hope. 251.8, 251.8, and 266.5, 266.5, and 228.7, 228.7. That is where the action has been over the last couple of weeks. Today was really something else. And I tried to dedicate as much time as I could to somebody's lodgings today. But, you know, when it's going on, a phone rings or something happens, all I was doing is just jotting numbers down. But I have some good info here. Let me drop. Okay, these are my lodgings for today, 3596. And I'm using a TST 2604 tri-band. 2 meter 440 900 meg, 300 meg airband received, and enhanced 800 gain antenna. WOW on that. Wow, that's an antenna. And it works very well. Picked it up at the ham stand 2 weeks ago. And I hope Bob is listening again, M1MLZ. Okay, let's get started. Today, 319.4, 319.4, heard OPEC 23 Alpha, status is 1. I'll explain at the end over here. Maybe I'll jump to this now. Let me jump to this part here so you can get a better perspective of what I'm talking about. Hang on, please. A lot of the information I'm giving is just like bits and pieces. They're not full conversations. I'll tell you what I'm doing. When blazing along at the scan rate of 100 channels per second with the 3000 XLT, that's the radio I'm using, I sometimes only pick up bits and pieces of a conversation. But at this point, I'm new to monitoring the military airband. So right now, I'm only concerned with active frequencies right now, not so much their context. And basically, what I'm looking to do is to achieve optimum results and give special consideration will be given to the active freaks, the ones that I find continuously active, for future programming and context. So eventually we'll kind of narrow this down and get some better loggings out of this. Right now it's bits and pieces, and as I said, I've got 100 channels in there, and it shoots by so fast. You get a little of this and a little of that, but between the range of 225 megs and 400, that's a tremendous range to search. And I'm not really searching that entire range. I've got 100 channels out of that that are supposedly active from a good source. N1MLZ, but so far so good, and the list will always be improved, and I'll pass on the best information I can to the net, my sermon, and to VRA. Let me drop for a second, please. Okay, so if you hear bits and pieces, don't get aggravated at me. Anyway, 319.4 OPEC 23 Alpha, status is 1. 381.8 Coast Guard inbound, 10 minutes from Victor. On 381.6, I heard Deer Park VOR several times. 349.4, a cracked taxi light, right landing gear seal indicator, have a temporary fix. On 359.4, I heard Hornet. 303.0, it sounded like a refueling operation, but that's also a tactical frequency, so that's kind of interesting. 301.6 was very active, but couldn't make heads or tails of the conversations. It was just coming up all the time, and just trying to jot down some info is pretty tough, especially at that scan rate. Anyway, 342.5, heard Marine 60012 request current weather conditions at Langley Air Force Base. Heavy crosswinds observed. Request weather 15 minutes out. Okay, 317.7 was very active. I heard call sign Hangman 1. I have no idea what that was. Drop. That's the VRA. 349.4. Someone was calling. The call sign was Reach 60012. What is Reach? I have no idea. I bet Bob can answer that. 361.4. Reach was the call sign. 361.4. I heard 15 minutes out from Marine Ramp. Someone called for a TTR. I don't know what a TTR is. 249.8. I've got a radio problem. Tomcat 2. Fighter craft right there. That was heard on 249.8. 342.5. The operator said, you talk too fast. Repeat. And I've got a couple other ones over here. Let me drop one second, please. Okay, 290.3. I heard back to Otis Air Force Base. Who, what, and when? Don't know. That was heard on 290.3. One of the best frequencies, so this one says coming up all day today. And last week also was quite active, was 251.250. Winds are 280 at 65, vector 360. Okay. And again, the action mostly takes place between 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., sometimes from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And I have some additional frequencies over here, which were also very active, with no particular information about them, but they kept coming up. And they were 282.3, 343.8, 259.4, 286.2, 286.2, 287.5, 301.6, 301.6, drop. Okay, as long as we're on this military kick over here, I have some information that was given to me by Bob up in Connecticut, up there, N1MLZ. Some of these frequencies were in the last couple of weeks. He had given these out as a logging, and I'm just going to repeat a few of them because I think they're worthwhile. On 288.7, Bob heard Hammer 21 at the Air National Guard in Atlantic City. 288.7. On 259.1, he heard confirmed kill on Victor. This was a dogfight activity. Confirmed kill on Victor, 259.1. The Suffolk Air National Guard was heard on 287.5. He heard a refueling operation on 252.8 for refuel truck. Also, another dogfight that Bob had mentioned, 273.4 and 239.2. He heard snakes 41, 42, and 43. Snakes 41, 42, and 43 engaging on those frequencies, 273.4 and 239.2. On 259.4, 259.4, he heard Tomcat 03 and foot rope. And that's from the Air National Air Guard, Air National Guard up in Orange, Connecticut. Bob also mentioned, he heard 255.0, Giant Killer, along with Hammer. And on 283.8, he heard Hammer 61 and 62. Hammer 61 and 62. And finally, another dogfight. And the frequencies were 318.4, along with 251.8. He heard smash units, smash 31 and smash 32 were heard on 318.4, and on 251.8, smash 33 and smash 34 were heard. And that was dogfight activity. And for the record, smash units are from Vermont. Drop. Okay, Ed, and I have some other information, basic, just general product information. Put me in the category there when you decide on that segment of the net. And I shall bring it out. WB2RVA in the monitoring the Long Island Sound scanner net. This is N2VRA. Over to next control. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank. Well, those frequencies will certainly keep the military buff going for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we do have you noted as having product information. We will pick you up and get around to there. The next station will be Steve. YGH will pick you up in about 2 minutes, Steve. What I'm trying to do is to keep up the practice of working fan mail into this so that we, because we do have an awful lot of fan mail this week, which is great. From our good friends and that vast listening audience out there. And we try to work these items in individually as we go along so that everybody gets a pretty fair shot. And old net control, getting older by the day, doesn't sort of have to do about a 30-minute monologue at the end. We got a nice piece of mail from, again, our good friend Ed in Cedarhurst, who is, like, all over the place, just doing a super job. And this is information he picked up from America Online, and it's about the National Scanning, second annual Lancaster, PA, convention update. In other words, this is the meeting that we've been talking about in Pennsylvania. So if you've got your tape recorders going, we hope. The dates, again, Friday, July 12th through Sunday, July 14th. It's pretty much check-in on Friday and pretty much check-out on Sunday, with the major part of the meeting being held on Saturday. Where is it being held? It's being held at the Lancaster Holiday Inn, formerly known as the Lancaster Host Resort. And with my business experience of traveling, I know that in the past, any name that had the word, any hotel that had the name Host in it was a well-run hotel. The rooms, they say we urge all members to stay right at the Lancaster Holiday Inn. This is much more convenient and safer. If you mention that you are with the National Scanning Convention, you will receive a substantial, so they say, a substantial discount on your room rate. The phone number, the 800 number for the Lancaster Holiday Inn. Now, even though this is coming up in July and this is only March, now would be a good time to call and make your reservation. Hotel phone number, 1-800-233-0121. I repeat, 1-800-233-0121. And it says, be sure to tell them that you are with the National Scanning Convention. Tickets to the meeting, it says call DX Radio Supply or National Scanning. That is not an 800 number, but it's Pennsylvania, and it's not that far. The phone number to get tickets for the convention, area code 610, and the phone number is 273-7823. 273-7823. And again, the area code is 610. To reserve your admission tickets to the convention. Tours, you want to bring the wife and kiddies along, you want to go to the meeting and you'd like to, they'd like to tour the Amish countryside. And there's another 800 number if you call the Pennsylvania Convention and Visitors Center at 1-800-735-2629. Repeat, 1-800-735-2629. You'll receive a large packet containing area maps, places to visit, photographs, find out about the abundance of quaint shops, foodstuffs, major pretzel manufacturers, wood products, farms, blah, 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 and so forth. Another point, and then we'll drop it for this, well, actually two more points, and then we'll drop it, but we do intend to promote it in coming weeks. They have made arrangements for the Columbia area, that's Lancaster, Amateur Radio Club to be part of the convention, and their blurb says these great amateur radio hobbyists will conduct a giant ham fest and will be housed in a room that we hadn't even seen last year, about the size of a football field. So look for exhibits, speakers, seminars, displays covering all types of ham radio, CD, GMRS, shortwave, etc. And the last point, and we'll drop it for tonight, There will be VE, that is volunteer examiner test, amateur radio test. And again, for those people in the vast listening audience who would like to become hams, this would be a great opportunity. Okay, end of that promo for tonight. And let's pick up Steve now into YGH with info. Steve, all yours.
Check KE2. WWM
with
me.
All right, KE2N recognized. And the station with the query?
2WWN, Curtis N.
Okay, Curtis, go. Steve, stand by for a second, Curtis. As you know, we picked up the queries which are relative to what we are discussing at the moment. Curtis, take it away.
Do you mean that the people up there, the Amateur Radio Club up there, in addition to the show, is going to have a ham fest at the same time? Is that what you're saying, Ed? Back to you. It's the WWM.
Well, I don't have any timing on that, Curtis, and I think you can tell I'm pretty much reading from the computer printout which came off the America Online. It says they made arrangements to be part of this communications convention. They'll be in a giant ham fest. My guess, we can try to find out more about it. Saturday, obviously, will be the big day, and it will be one of the things that we didn't talk about. We'll get into seminars and so forth next week. Maybe we can, by next week, have some more information. My guess would be that Saturday is going to be the big day, and there'll probably be a ham fest possibly going on simultaneously or maybe at certain hours, whatever. But the major thing is that there will be a ham fest also there. Back to you, Curtis.
That sounds really good. They didn't have that last year. The big thing that was last year was the flight in from Life Flight and area fire departments that they had. The only the big thing that missed on Friday was the 911 up there in the Lancaster area. But it's a good 3-day event, and it normally ends around noontime or 1 o'clock on Sunday. So it really doesn't go through the day on Sunday, because a lot of people are checking out of the hotel and want to get back home and get to work for Monday. So it's really Friday, Saturday, and partial of the morning on Sunday.
Thank you, Curtis. Okay, as I said, we will be talking more about this thing. Curtis was the one who originally brought the whole concept to us, because he and Rose went to it in 1995, and as soon as Curtis came back, he started spreading the word. And now we are getting more and more information coming in. Just sounds like a real great thing. And we are thinking, we as a group, so to speak, are thinking about making our presence known out there. It sounds like a great weekend. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from New York City. Steve, thank you for your patience. Into YGH. Take it away.
Okay, no problem. That's what makes the net great, Ed. All the info. You know, that's the bottom line, getting the info through. First of all, I have a breaking scanner story. A third alarm fire is raging out of control in Queens at box 9389. A partial building collapse, and got tower ladders, the whole thing going. Extension to other buildings, which means that the fire is spreading probably to other structures, which is not a very good thing. Let me give out some freaks. 154.400 for Queens Fire. 154.400. Citywide EMS, 478.0125. They have a command center station there. And 461.650, which is Citywide News. They still give progress updates as it's learned through the other frequencies. So that's like a catch-all frequency, the 461.650. That's like or the best bets in the New York City area. Let me let it drop a sec. Okay, I was looking at monitoring times, latest issue, March. And on page 108, they have in the Ask Bob article section, I should say, they have Bob's tip of the month, which is why frequency coverage on Regency 4020 scanners and maybe some Bearcats too. I don't know how many people have seen this, but there is a sequence in which you get hit on the 100 and I found the 200 and the 100 XLT, where if you switch the radio on, you press manual, then you hit 1 and then the manual to display channel 1. You re-enter the existing frequency on that channel, then you press 8888888, blah, 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 to obliterate all the digits. You don't enter that, you just press all those digits. Then you hit the priority button, and as soon as the priority clicks in, you rotate the squelch open and closed again, and supposedly it starts scanning from 10 megs up to 1,000 megs. Not exactly true, but sort of true. Let me let it drop. I have found, by doing this, it does work. It works on the 100 and the 200. But the range that it will search, okay, listen to this, depends on what you have programmed in the search ranges. For instance, let's say if I had, if I hit 144, then limit, and 148, limit, then I turned off the radio, and I turned it on, and I did all that button pressing and entering and so on and so forth, the radio would start scanning from 10 megahertz on up in 5 kilohertz steps. If I had programmed in it 406 to 420, okay, in the search limit ranges, when I turned on the radio and did all that, it'll scan from 10 megs up in 25 kilohertz steps. If I programmed in 450 to 512 as the search ranges, and I turned off the radio and put it back on, it would search from 10 up in 12.5 kilohertz steps. Now, mind you, obviously the reception is not good at that bottom part of the band. Obviously, the electronics are not in the radio to receive those ranges at all. Once it got to about 30, it started getting some stuff. And I've noticed at a couple of ranges I programmed in, when I did turn the radio on and did that stuff, it just pretty much ran through the numbers, but no reception was possible, like a test mode. Let me let it drop one sec. Okay, now, the most usable mod I actually found, since it only receives, it doesn't receive wideband FM, so if you're going to go listen to TV stuff once it gets up above in the 600 to 800 megahertz range, you're not going to receive anything because it's not wide FM. Again, it does not go in that band. But what I did find is if you program 118 to 136 in the search limits before you turn the radio off, then you put it on, then you do the keystrokes, it'll search from 989 and turn over at 0000, and it'll search in 25 kilohertz ranges in the AM mode from 0 megahertz. Now, you don't get any reception down there because, like I said, the electronics aren't in it. But once you get up to the 108 to 118 band, which is not ordinarily in the radio, reception is possible, and I was able to hear some of the beacons and stuff that are located there. That's what's from 108 to 118. You hear a lot of the beacons from the airports. I hear two myself from LaGuardia Airport. One is on 113.1, which I heard on the 200 XLT, and another one on 110.5, which I think is another one from LaGuardia, if I'm not mistaken. So it does work to a degree, and I'm sure by trying other search ranges, it'll search in different ways. Let me let it drop. There's one more interesting one I found. And 2YGH in the scanner net. Okay, I also programmed in the range of 806 to 956. And needless to say, I turned off the radio. I put it back on. I did the keystrokes. And I thought, okay, it's going to search probably from 806 on up. No, it didn't. It searched from 164.00 on up in 12.5 kilohertz steps, which the radio normally never does. It goes in 5 kilohertz steps. I didn't recognize if there was any reception, though, while doing this. I left the antenna off, so it would just run and run and run, so I could see where it, I see where it would begin and end. I never did get to see where that search range ended, but it did start in that VHF high band in 12.5 kilohertz steps. Very, very strange. I'm sure there'll be more to follow on this one as this one unfolds. As for the fire, I guess it's still going, so you might want to punch in those frequencies. That's an active job, and they'll probably be on that one for some time. Sounds like it might even go to four alarms, so you might want to check that one out. And 2IGH in the scanner net. Back to you, Ed.
Thank you very much, Steve, for that interesting presentation on pushing buttons on the scanner. It's amazing that the scanners are capable of doing things like that, and yet when anybody bought the scanner, the owner's manual didn't tell you a thing about it. And we say goodbye at this moment to about 97% of the net as they go over to their scanners and listen to fire, EMS, and citywide news on that Queens fire. Only kidding. All right, let's pick up one or two pieces of quick fan mail and work it in. Speaking of fires, we got a note, I think it just came in the mail today, and it's from our good friend Russ in Rockaway Beach, the man who prepares the I'm just trying to think, it's not table of contents, the summary, the index, that's the word I'm looking for, the index for the issues of monitoring Long Island Sounds, and did a beautiful job with the first 60 issues. He writes, he says, Dear Ed, I'll start with some loggings. On Tuesday, February 6th, 4-alarm fire in the South Bronx on the 15th floor of an apartment building, WB2RBA. One woman was killed. There was a special call for the high-rise unit, 95-foot tower ladder truck. During the fire, on the fire department's citywide frequency of 154.43, they said that the high-rise repeater being put into operation, that citywide would be off the air. Russ goes on, I didn't hear anything on that frequency until later. Maybe the citywide frequency is used as an input frequency to the high-rise repeater, and I was too far from the fire scene, again, Rockaway Beach, to hear the input. And he goes on to say, on February 25th, a small commuter plane's engine caught fire at JFK Airport. The people got off the plane without any injuries. I heard Port Authority police and fire at the scene on 453.375, Queens Fire on 154.4, and New York City EMS citywide on 478.0125. Interesting that the two frequencies, the two last frequencies that Russ mentioned, 154.4 and the 478.0125, are the same frequencies that Steve has been monitoring tonight. He goes on to say, I enclosed a notice for the Westchester Emergency Communications AmFest. We'll get into that a little bit later on. I tend to think of that as a separate category. Got a note in the mailbox today from Betty from North Merrick. She said, as usual, you have a wonderful program. I enjoy it very much. Keep up the good work. Number one, yesterday, meaning yesterday, that's right. This is Tuesday, meaning Monday. Yesterday around noontime, on my Realistic Pro 2023, I heard the astronaut talking. I have been trying to get them all week. I couldn't hear them. I guess I put it on at the wrong time. Nobody seems to mention them anymore, and they are doing a wonderful job. For the newcomers, the frequency, and Betty then mentions 145.43. That's the King's Park repeater. So if you want to listen to the astronauts, try 145.43. And Betty says on March 3rd, which I take it was Sunday, I was searching on my Bearcat 350A. It's got a frequency of 462.975. East Rockaway with a patient was on the floor, and they were taking them to Nassau Hospital. I take it that's MCMC. Still on the Bearcat searching, I verified frequency 153.815. Department of Agriculture, this is Betty, and verified 155.49, which is the police department in Manasquan, Borough District 27, New Jersey. We thank Betty for that information, and we move on now to Hank. And Hank, I know that you do have Sean Wade, and I'll mark that here too. And of course, any of your scanner information, we'd love to have right now. Into GCN and the net, take it away.
Okay, thank you much. And also have AM and logging, ceiling, a couple of them. But anyway, good evening, everyone. I'm Hank into GCN. Here's my information for the week as far as scanning. First off, on 122.0, this is again 122.000 on BHF AM. 11:19 a.m., Aeronautical Mobile, Flight Watch, they call en route to Flight Advisory Service. I heard Pat, 5:11, providing flight conditions, weather, and wind, and so forth. His destination was supposed to be Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland. The aircraft was a C-26, and I heard March 5th. Today, next one, on 127.7, again, 127.700 VHF AM, at 12:15 p.m., Aeronautical Mobile, KCDC, again, the call is KCDC, Washington Center, Air Route Traffic Control Center. Remote site is Sea Isles, New Jersey, low altitude frequency. Air USAF flight 515, say again. And the last one of the week, 131.075, again, 131.075, in VHF AM at 121 PM, Aeronautical Mobile. The station, WPY8, is Whiskey Papa Yankee number 8. Bradley International Airport, Windsor-Lock, Connecticut, in route station. Our Jetlink flight 176, call Hartford. I say he was in range, which means about ready to land, so the crews would get ready on the ground. This is the first time I heard this frequency, so it's a new one, and heard on March 5th. Again, I have two AM loggings there, and as a matter of fact, what I may do tonight as well, since I only have two, I have a whole listing of stations that I picked up from Canada. Perhaps I'll put it out here tonight for people who wish to listen to those. Thank you, WB2RVA into GCNOVU.
Thank you very much, Hank. Appreciate that. And we do have you down for DX, AMDX as well as in short ways. All right, let's pick up another piece of fan now. And this is Bob, who was checked in tonight in 2YYI the other day. We do appreciate the mail. And obviously, Bob, please feel free to check into the net and to bring your information on the air. We try to encourage that. Bob's note basically says, I've been a listener to the net for about 2 years. Wow. First as a scanner listener, and now as a ham. You do a great job. The U he's talking about is the collective U. Everybody out there who checks in with info, query, comments, and the people who write that great fan mail. You all do a great job. Bob was with us at Nathan's in Hicksville recently, so it was fun to meet some of the people at Nathan's recently, although I did not get to speak with you. Well, we'll have to correct that. And Bob, I've got your note about the ring and so forth. I will fill you in completely on that one. Closed, and Bob is here in the system. Bob, you are a new member of MLIS. You've got the SASE. And we're still working out of boxes. I'll tell you more in later on. In fact, I think this is the last night that I'll be working from my normal working position, and then I'm going to have to find some spot house. I am moving probably in the next week down to the basement. And it'll be comfortable, but unfortunately none of the antenna lines reach there, so we're going to have to be moving antennas. So I'll find another room in the house for the time being. And Bob finishes off by saying, once again, the net is well run, informative, looking forward to Tuesday. All right, Bob sends in some information, and if you're ready to copy, in Woodside, New York, Woodside, Queens, the Twin, TWIN, car service, the cars, and the base. The operating frequency is 854.2375, 854.2375. And in Brooklyn, the Big Apple Corporate Limo, there are three frequencies for the base. And channel 1 is 851.0625. Channel 2 is 853.5875, and Channel 3 is 853.5625. And Bob says the cars are 45.0 megahertz, 45.0. So, Bob, we thank you for the information, and again, we do encourage you. Let me put a check mark here. We covered that information. We do encourage you, as well as everybody, to check into the net with info, query, or a comment. Good to have you aboard as a new member of Monitoring Long Island Sound. All right, everybody get ready. We're about to start World War III here as we go over to WA2DWM with a query, WC2RBH. Ron, all yours.
Yeah, Roger. Good evening to you and the net, WA2BWM returning. Well, I just wanted to query here. I had something happen to me the other day, and it just bothered me the way they went about it. As you guys know, I have the handheld Pro 43, have had it, actually, this is just about the first time it came out, which is quite a few years. And I think, as most people know, they stopped making that model now. They don't make it anymore. Anyway, I was having a problem with it the other day. The earphone jack was acting up, was cutting in and out. So I decided to bring it in, since I have a warranty on it, to be repaired. So I brought it in, and to you know where, and the fella, first of all, he took a look at it. He said, "Wow, a Pro 43. I haven't seen one of those in years. You know, that's an antique." So I said, "Yes, I've had it for quite a few years." So he said, "You know what this is worth?" I said, "Well, I think I paid about $200 or something for when it came out." He said, "You know, you can get about $700 for this right now." So I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because this thing covers the cellular band on it." So I said, "Well, I never really bothered with that. You know, I'm not really much interested in that." So I told him what the problem was. He said, "Well, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to modify this thing." So I said, "What are you talking about? I just want to get the earphone thing repaired." So he says, "Well, it covers the cellular band, and what they're going to do is eliminate that for you." So I says, wait a minute, I don't want to eliminate it. So I said, "All I want is the thing repaired." He said, no, it's got to be modified. It's, you know, it's against the law to have that. So I said, "I understand it's against the law, but I don't want anybody to touch it. I just want it back the same way I'm giving it to you. The only thing I want done on it is to have the earphone jack plugged." "Well, we really can't do that. We have to modify it." And we're going back and forth, on and on. So I told him, I said, "Look, this thing was made before that law was passed. I'm quite sure there are many people out there who have receivers that are covering the same thing as this thing does, you know. And I'm quite sure that the government is not going to go to the manufacturers and get a list of everybody who has a thing to receive cellular and tell them to have it taken care of." So he says, "Well, we won't touch it because you're not authorizing it. But what we'll have to do, we may have to have you sign a letter, say releasing us from any responsibility for it, because we both know it's against the law to receive this thing. So we may have to have you sign, a paper that you're not authorizing us to change it." So I said, "Look, just prepare the thing. We'll worry about that when the time comes." So what my question is, are they allowed to do this to you? I mean, go ahead and do something without your permission, even though it is against the law, and we all know it is. I mean, like, they were ready to take this thing upon themselves to do it, even whether I wanted to or not, and I found it to be very annoying. So I wonder what the net thinks of that. WA2BWM, back to you, Ed.
Yep. I think I heard Curtis, WWM, I think I heard VRA, and I did hear BTF, so stand by, guys. Ron, interesting question, and you've got three guys ready to give opinions, and they're going to be very interesting, too. Anybody else who'd like to get on the list to respond to Ron? Okay, let's go to Curtis first. again, just to sort of set it up for the benefit of somebody out there who maybe wasn't listening with both ears, Ron has a Pro 43. We won't mention the stores that sell Pro 43. And when he bought it, it had the full cellular frequency range in it. There was nothing illegal at that time for the manufacturer to produce it. And now he goes into the store to get service on his scanner, and it appears that the clerk in the store tells him, well, if you give us the scanner back, we will make the necessary service work, do the repair on your scanner, but at the same time we're going to modify it so that it can't monitor the cellular range. Interesting. N2WWM, WB2RVA. Curtis, all yours.
Oh, very good, Ed. I guess that's the store with the big red R with the circle around it. I don't know if that's the first time you had a problem like this. But what I should say, Ron, is that at that moment, I would have took the radio and would have bought the part, opened it up myself, and would have repaired the earphone jack. I repaired a potentiometer on the on-off switch on my wife's unit, and I bought it. That was a reconditioned Radio Shack unit. I would never have them touch any of my radio equipment. In fact, I had something a while back. It was a Radio Shack product, and gave it to them, and they said it was beyond repair, which is not true. It was repairable, and they still charged me the $40 repair charge, even though that they did not fix the unit. So I lost home my whole respect in their service agreement, and this is before that they took on other product lines, and I've seen things when I walk into the store, people getting back cordless telephones, and they're telling the people that it's not repairable, and all probably it is. It's probably just by changing the battery, and you probably can get the phone to work again. So I lost all my respect in the service division of the Big R. Back to Net, N2WWM.
Dorothy. All right, there is one station in there. Just give us your call letters, and we will add you to the list.
Yeah, this is KB2, URZ.
Okay, URZ, I assume that you want to add a comment. We'll put you on the list for the comments, and we'll be getting to you momentarily. Let's go to Frank into VRA. Frank, what say?
KE2N also.
KE2N, Jerry, recognize with a comment. Okay, Frank, VRA, go.
Okay, let me see if I have it. It should be all right. All right, Ed. Yeah, a clerk, definitely. I personally believe the clerk has... They cannot downgrade a radio and take something out of it. If it was purchased with a sales receipt, and at the time it was okay to have such a radio... they can't come in. That's your property. They can't come in and downgrade it and say, we're going to do this. I think the guy's a little quacky over there. And Curtis said he had a bad experience. I've had, actually, the repair shop's right up the street from me on Lincoln Avenue over here. I was surprised to see that they're only a stone thrown away. I had a stereo receiver fixed. The memory was fixed for the presets. They did a great job on that. I had it back in 3 days. And they fixed the crystal scanner that died on me. I had that back in a week. So, and it's, everything's working fine since, about 2 years ago. So I have no complaints with them as far as that. As far as that other problem, Ronnie, that you had with the radio, which caused you to bring it in initially, the name of the game is dust, dust, and dust. dust will kill your radio. It's as bad as water. If you're not using a radio for a long time, you don't want to spend, you know, the bucks on a leather case or whatever, get a piece of saran wrap and just drape it over the radio. Use it for a dust cover. It works great. I have that on my 390. My 390 sits horizontally on a shelf. And, you know, you just can't get rid of dust, no matter how clean you are. The thing would be filled. And, you know, what happens with the volume controls and the squelch and all that, they get all kinds of crackly and whatnot. Let me drop one second. You can buy this propellant. It's an air spray. And I think you can get it in the Office Max. I know you can get it in the Price Club. And they're usually two to a pack, around $7, $8, something like that. Comes with one of those long straws on it. And as far, you know, maybe when you were putting the ear jack in, the plug in the earphone jack, you're getting a crackly sound or something. Well, that's dirt on your contacts in there. So if you take a Q-tip with a little tiny bit of alcohol and make the Q-tip really pointy and just stick it in there and swish it around a little and then just use a few jets of the air spray, that should solve your problem. I do it all the time on some of my radios in the shack. I have crackly volume switches, and once a month I'll give them a blast. And that takes care of it. We had a very minor problem right there. But the Tinker Toy General that looked at your product, he had no right to, like he wanted to confiscate it and to bring it up to the time. Can't do that. Again, I stress, you've got a receipt, and you bought the radio at that time, and that's the way it was made, so it has to stay that way unless you authorize such a repair, whether it be an upgrade or a downgrade. And that's my comment. WB2RVA N2VRA, back to you.
Thank you, Frank, for those words of wisdom. I think he said a lot there. Let's go over to Ron into VGF with further words on this. Ron?
Yes, I missed a little bit of it, I think. Did you say that Ron modified the radio at all between the time he bought it and now? Could you answer that one question?
Negative. Never touched it.
Okay, here's the thing. The Pro 43, I hate to be a party pooper, but the Pro 43 originally never has cellular capabilities. It goes from 851 to 868. And then it goes from 896 to 999 megahertz. And I don't see where it has cellular. So, I mean, I hate to be a party pooper, but, you know, can you, Ron, explain that to me? How it can receive it when it never had it?
Well, it depends on when you bought it, Don. Well, I don't know when you bought yours, but I bought mine when it was only out about 2 months.
VGF, I'll copy.
I copy, I copy.
Okay, well, what BWM said, that he had bought it, and at the time he bought it, it did have the cellular in it, and since Ron's got the unit right there, I would assume that he's correct. Back to you, BGF.
Yeah, I got the Pro 43 also, but I don't have that. I have goes from 8, well, this was, you know, I mean, the same month. I mean, I don't, maybe not taken out, but this is like I got this a couple years ago before the press strain. So I don't have that. And it was modified by someone, but that's besides the point. I have the original, the manual, the original one, and it doesn't have it, but I guess he has it. But I can't answer that, but all I know is I have it, the manual right here, and it skips that area. So that's all I have to say.
VRA, additional comments, please.
Okay, Ron, thank you. We're adding VRA back on the list, and we're going to go to KB2ORZ. Would you please give us your first name all day?
You talk about KB2URZ?
Sorry about that. I wrote it quick, and I sort of closed the U. I'm sorry. U-R-Z.
Thank you very much. It's KB2URZ. The name is Shell. I've been listening to you your net for a little while there, a few weeks and all that. Very good.
Okay, the law went into effect April of 1994. Any radio manufactured or imported before April of 1994 was legally, can be legally sold. All right, now, the fact that you have that radio, if it does cover the cellular, it's completely legal for you to have that radio. Any radio that was manufactured or imported before the ban was able to be sold legally after the ban, they could sell any existing stock, and you can legally possess it, use it, and all that, as long as it was one of the pre-ban ones. Nobody could tell you it has to be modified or anything like that. The clerk is completely ignorant. As long as it was, as long as it was one of them pre-ban ones, it is fully legal to own and use. You're just not supposed to listen to the cellular frequencies. You're supposed to skip over them and listen to the other stuff. But nobody can tell you that it's illegal to have it. They cannot tell you it has to be modified, but legally, it does not have to be. It is legal for you to own it and possess it and use it as you wish, as long as you don't tune to those frequencies. So anyone who tells you that it's illegal to have it like that is completely wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The ban only pertains to the ones made after, any scanner made after April of 94 or imported after cannot have the cellular. So anyone who tells you that doesn't know what he's talking about. It's only legal for you to possess and use. Enjoy. KB2, you are this.
KB2 SGJ.
KB2 SGJ, John recognized. John, I assume, and just answer yes or no, because I'm putting you on the end of the line here. I assume that you have a comment on what we are now talking about. Is that correct, John?
Yes, that's affirmative, Ed.
Okay, John, stand by. Your number three on the land mix trip. Thank you, Shell. I think you have really put a nice clear light on the situation. Let's go over to Jerry, KP2N. Tell you what, I'm going to cut this off after John because it's so interesting and vibrant that we could probably talk about it until 10 o'clock. So we're going to pick up Jerry, we're going to pick up VRA Frank, and then John, and then we have to move on. Ron, very interesting point. KE2N in the group, WD2RBA.
That's KE2N, huh? I had in the group. Yeah, that was interesting. I'll make it brief. One, if this was true, I'd ask them to see something in writing. There'd have to be some kind of notice to customers and to staff saying, you know, if so-and-so happens, you must do this, and I'm sure he does. His party said, of course, it's illegal for them to touch something that was legal at the time. They can't do it. The proof of that would be there's an outfit up in Massachusetts that we all see advertising and monitoring times that unlock cellular radios made prior to a date. It even says we can only do it on some radios. They can still unlock them, so it doesn't give them the right to lock it. You can walk into another Radio Shack and you won't get that story. In fact, if they lock it on you, they're going to have to unlock it.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that somebody still does it, the fact he had nothing in writing, the fact he told you it was worth $700, like I said, and come to give you the $700 to tell you who will, I think you'll find that they'll back away on something like that. It's pretty clear. You probably could call the FCC 800 line and ask the question about that and get an answer. I don't know if that's all automated or not. I've been missing my monitoring times. I guess it's because you're moving locations. So I'm just going to send you one big envelope with the numbers that I missed to make it easy, and maybe my envelopes will show up. If not, I'll just send more. But again, if they're unlocking them up in Massachusetts, how could they lock them down here? This is KE2N. Back to you.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, let's go to Frank and to VRA. Frank, all yours.
All right, thank you, Ed. First of all, I agree with what Shell had mentioned. There was a time in April 94, I do recall reading in one of the magazines that Radio Shack pulled the radios off the shelf immediately and couldn't sell them, the ones that were cell capable. And they came out, well, they knew this months ahead of time, they had a replacement radio ready to go up there. But there are two different radios. There's one that can get it and one that can't get it, and the cutoff date was April 94. I remember reading something about that specifically. As far as the cellular, he mentioned Cellular Security Group, okay, up in Massachusetts. We can mention their name, it's okay. Yeah, they'll unlock the scanner, okay? but they won't use it. You will. So it's not illegal for them to unlock it, but it's illegal for you to use it when it's unlocked. But at the same time, their liability is gone. They're just performing a service operation. They're not using it. So they get around it that way. And just about any radio can be modified. There's very few that can't. And that's pretty much the situation with cellular security. So, anyway, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is with these things. Anyway, you know, let me drop it 1 second, please. See, all right. If you go to a phone, a cell phone place, okay, I have, I've got a cell phone. I'm having a lot of problems with mine. It just doesn't work right, and it's a good one. Well, supposedly. They offer me a choice. Do I want analog or digital service? Now, digital service is readily available now, as it wasn't 2 years ago. You have a choice as a consumer to pick digital or analog. If you pick digital and you have one of these scanners that picks it up, you'll hear nothing. That's the way it's going. It's phasing itself, phasing into that. They say the life of a car phone is less than a year, with people dropping them and abusing them and losing them and everything else. And when they usually get another phone, they're usually talked into by some slip salesman to upgrade. And, of course, the word scanner is mentioned and eavesdropping is mentioned. So they're heading in a digital way. And I'd probably say within 5 years, it'll all be digital. There won't be even be an analog system out there. And it's a constant upgrade. It's a much better signal, also, with the digital. But anyway, that's going off the pier over here a little bit. So, anyway, it's back to you, WB2RVA, N2VRA. Good night.
Thanks, Frank, for the info and for the opinion, too. All right, we are wrapping this up now with John. And then we are moving back to our list of people and the fan mail and so forth. And Ron, I thank you for bringing such a provocative question to the net. Everybody's juices started to flow. KB2SGJ, John, all yours.
Yes, good evening, Ed, and everyone in the net. I tuned into the net during Ron's portion here, and I just want to make a couple of comments. Pretty much now that Frank has pretty much mentioned what I was going to, but just to recap what I agree with here. Number one, Curtis, we all know that the personnel at Radio Shack, while they may be mostly well-meaning and nice people, I found many times in the past that the store personnel are just not knowledgeable. And, you know, many times I've caught them telling things that are just not true. So that should be remembered in the first place in there. The second is that it's not illegal to own it. Of course, it's illegal to listen to it, but it's not illegal to own it. And the last thing I was going to bring up, Frank just brought up, is that it's not illegal to modify it, because I've been seeing Grove now has been doing the modifications and advertising. You know, they sell the AR-8000, and for $40, you can ship it back to them, and they'll, I think the cost of the modification is $40 plus shipping and handling. And that's the interesting thing. They can't modify it until you purchase it, and you have to send it back to them, and then they'll send it back to you. So this is apparently the loophole in the law. They cannot sell modified scanners, but they can do the modification once you purchase it. And obviously, they wouldn't be doing it if it were illegal. So I have to assume that everything is on the up and up. Anyway, that's just an interesting observation, and I'll turn it back to you, Ed. We'll move on to something else. Good checking in with you tonight. KB2RVA, the net, KB2SGJ.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you again. Good to hear from Steve, YGH, before I meant to mention that, and I didn't, but always good to hear from you guys. All right. I guess the only comment that I would make is, and I think it's been made more than once by the six or seven people who jumped in to answer Ron's query. It's not, you know, having a radio that is capable. It's you sitting down. And according to the law, as far as I know, it's actually listening to it, and then even worse, to then go on and to tell other people what you heard. So, for example, I've got the Yaesu FRG 9600. In some ways, it's a clinker or a clunker of a scanner, and yet there are many ways it's just a beautiful instrument in terms of, well, for example, coverage. It monitors
word I'm looking for. Well, all the way from 60 megahertz to 960 megahertz in one long spell. So, in other words, if I wanted to listen to cellular, I could just turn on my FRG 9600. It's capable of doing that. But the fact that I own it and it's capable of doing that really doesn't mean a thing. It's when I cross the line, turn it on, fish around, and then listen to the cellular. And the other comment that the clerk made, well, they're going to, it's capable, your scanner, Ron, BWM, is capable of it. We're going to have to take it out. It's like me taking my beautiful old Dodge, 1987 Dodge Omni, which is capable, probably, of doing like 75 miles an hour. And if you look at the speedometer, that would so indicate. And I take my car into the garage, and the guy looks at the car and says, you know, this is capable of doing 75. State law says it's 55 miles an hour. We're going to have to modify your car so that you can only do 55 miles an hour. That's the type of logic that you have and play it out to your run. I think you're all set now, Ron. You've heard an awful lot of points of view, and they certainly seem to be on the mark. All right, let me switch over WB2RBA to another piece of fan mail, and the next one that we'll pick up will be Ron again into BGF with his query. This is a note from Rich in the Bronx, and Rich is another new member of the of Monitoring Long Island Sound, and he thanks me for issue number 62 and the membership in MLIS. We should thank you, Rich, not you should thank me. Enclosed are the SASEs you requested. Then he goes on to say something, and I'd like to elaborate on this. He says, I'd be happy to send along a contribution or dues to help defray the cost. Please advise. Well, this gives me an opportunity to explain the policy. People who become members of Monitoring Long Island Sound, in essence, pay for the newsletter two ways. Number one, they pay for it by sending stamped address envelopes. In other words, if you don't send me a stamped address envelope, then you will not get a copy of the newsletter. So virtually everybody who gets it, everybody who gets a copy of MLIS has in advance sent along has some SASEs. Number two, the other payment that is made by a member is to participate. You're getting sick of hearing the word, but for instance, Rich has been sending us good information. I just look at the list of the check-ins tonight. You know, Frank into VRA right at the top, Steve into YGH, and go down the list. These are people who participate, and they those two I just focused in on, they participate in writing, they participate on the air, and so forth. The only thing that I do is just pretty much type up everything, and then I go over to Staples and Freeport, where they are very inexpensive. It's, you can get these things turned out. So the only thing that I'm really doing is just laying out loose change, and the real contribution to Monitoring Long Island Sound isn't by the printer, it's by the people who participate. Anyway, Rich is with us, and we're glad to have him. And don't send money. A story from him on Saturday, February 24th, 1996, about 1355 hours. A boat was reported sinking between City Island and Hart Island. Reports were received from New York City Fire Department and a female transmitting on 156.8. And that's the, distress marine frequency. A number of frequencies came alive with action as land, air, sea units responded to the scene to conduct rescue operations. Within 5 minutes, Coast Guard, Harbor, aviation units were on site conducting a search for a PIW, and he goes on to explain a person in the water. Divers were deployed from New York City PD Aviation 12 to search the hull for survivors. The Coast Guard vessel deployed a DMB, Data Marker Buoy, in accordance with directives from GG Group, New York. Fortunately, the story had a happy ending as no person had to be removed from the water. The vessel was taken in tow by Harbor George. feet navigational hazard. All units resume normal operations. And he finishes up with the comment, it's really gratifying to know that these folks can be on site and going to work in such short order. Active frequencies for this operation were, ready to copy, 156.8, and again, that's Maritime Marine Channel 16, which is used for distress emergencies, 157.05, Coast Guard Group New York and New York City PD Aviation, 156.85, Coast Guard Group New York and New York City PD Harbor, 154.19, Bronx Fire, 470.837, New York City PD Citywide Emergency Service Units, last frequency, and we'll pick up on 476.912, New York City PD 8th Division, 45 Precinct, covering City Island. Rich, just a real nice letter, good story, good numbers, certainly appreciate it. Okay, let's go to N2VGF in the net with a query, WB2RVA.
Okay, very good. I don't want to dwell on this, but just for Ron, I was wondering if he might come back later and just say, does the Pro 43 go from 851 to 999 continuous? Because I got the Pro 43. It was made before, at least mine is, I got before 1993. So it was before the April 94 deadline. And I have the I don't have the continuous, so I don't know whether you're talking about making two different Pro 43s, and maybe I know Frank just mentioned something about that. I'm still a little confused about that. Ron, so maybe you could fill me in on that whole thing. But let me ask two questions. Let me drop them. I had a question that I came in with. Did Frank ever get that Eastgate security number out of Flora Park, which you mentioned adding the newspaper article from the Sunday Times, Eastgate security from, I guess, Frank is going to look it up. Or if not, what do you suggest for looking for mobile, you know, mobile security forces around the community? What's a good, you know, where would it be concentrated on? And number two, I just thought about that while Frank was giving out the military frequency. Basically, when you listen to them, are you basically looking, scanning this, or do you have a lot of these memories, or is it just scanning the sleep? Because it seems like an awful lot of frequencies is just plugging into memory, and, you know, a lot of these things change, let's say, a couple weeks later, and so some of them are not going to be active. So is it best to kind of scan each week as opposed to putting down like 20 a week into a memory? So that's basically the question for Frank, and you know, that's basically it. So I'll turn it back to you, Ed.
Okay, Ron, I think I followed that. Let me just give a quick answer to the best of my recollection, bearing in mind that we pass a lot of information and we meet week after week after week. I don't believe that a number, a frequency came up for Eastgate security. And for your, for the second part of your question, let me put you in touch, so to speak, with Frank. Frank, did you copy Ron's question one and two, first one being Eastgate security, and then the second one? So let's see if Frank, and if so, Frank, would you talk direct to Ron, VTF, and to VRA, one thing.
Okay, Ed, very good. Yeah, I copied all three questions. I'll answer them real quick here. Number one, Eastgate security was not in the database. They were not in the projected area that we had spoken about, I believe it was East Hill, right? And I also checked adjacent towns for them. They're probably, I think Mark QAI had mentioned last week that he noticed that they had a possible 800 trunk system. He had some information on that. And then I had mentioned also, well, the only real way to find out is to go by with a frequency counter and catch a transmission or something. But there was nothing listed in there for Eastgate. Now, the second answer is, let me just drop 1 second. The high concentration of security companies, if you get your search band going in your scanner, search between 461 and 465. 461 and 465. Usually they're in that area. Or they would be on perhaps one of these business itinerants. If it's a repeaterized system, I would say that they're probably in the 461 to 465 area. As far as military frequencies, it's not advisable to scan between 225 and 400. There's just too much in between. It's a much too large a gap to successfully search scan. So what you could do is either take segments of it, or you can take known frequencies. I was given a quite a number of frequencies by Bob and my MLZ, who's a pro in the military band, and he gave me several hundred, and I plugged into my 3,000 100 of the what he called highlighted top 100 frequencies, and there's more than actually 100 of them. So I've been working those in the program. I'm in the 3000 XLT, which is a 400 channel scanner, and I've dedicated 100 channels strictly to military aero and put in those top 100. And that's where that information that I gave out earlier came from those particular frequencies. So it's better to plug the known ones in and listen and do small search ranges throughout the military band and try and use some reference books to see just what you're listening to. There's a lot of good reference books out there that'll tell you just what's on a particular frequency, or whether it's a tactical frequency, a SAC frequency, a Coast Guard, whatever. And as they come up, just start putting a list together and fill your individual channel memories that way. It's better to have known frequencies and scan known frequencies than to go through that horrendous search range. It's just too big. Very time consuming trying to find active frequencies in there, because the transmissions are brief. And as I mentioned before, what I'm trying to do is condense most of the active ones and give those out to the net so that you can fill your banks and pretty much get lots of activity to hear, because that's the final goal that we want to do. We want to hear action. So I hope that's been beneficial to you, Ron. Turn it over to you. To DDF? I'm not sure. Don't hang me. And to VRA in the net.
Okay, very good, Frank. Thanks. Okay, very good. And it's pretty good today. They came out of Florida Park. That's where they're walking through. That's the back. And also, maybe Ron can answer the question about the Pro 43, because I think it's kind of strange. Mine is a couple years old, about 4 years old, or something like that, and it doesn't have that range, so I don't understand that. So, Ed, I'll turn it back to you, and maybe Ron has a comment on that, but then that's about it for me. So, back to you, Ed.
Thank you very much, Frank, for your response. Appreciate that. All right, Ron DGF, I could swear at BWF had answered the question, but let's turn it over to him for a final, as they sometimes like to say. WA2BWM, hope you heard DGF's question. How do you respond, sir?
Thank you, sir. Like a good Boy Scout, I was prepared for this because I knew that question was going to come up again. I got the book in front of me, Ron, the frequency ranges and so forth. And in that range, it covers 800 to all the way up to 999.9875 continuous coverage. We did have it on in the store. We did hear cellular on the phone there because the guy turned it on. And we did have it. So it is in there. And I don't have the thing handy with me offhand, of course. It's still, I didn't get it back yet. But the serial number on the back, let me put it this way, was very, very low. So as I said, I bought the thing when it just about came out. So, and as Frank mentioned, they did pull a lot of stuff off the shelf. I remember one night we were discussing that on the net, where we were discussing a lot of stuff that they, Radio Shack, had pulled off. So that I know Frank is correct on it. By the way, I've neglected to say this before, and then we'll turn it over to Ed. We'll drop it because I'm sorry, Ed. I didn't mean to do this. I have an ICOM R7000, which I think you guys know. Now this covers the whole cellular band, it's continuous tuning from 25 all the way up to 1.3 GHz. And ICOM sent me a note saying we know that the reason, because they had me on record, of course. I bought it directly from AES and AES. AES and ICOM both sent me a letter advising me that the thing, they know the thing does cover the cellular band, but all they said was, just be advised that it is against the law to listen. And that was it. So, you know, I don't understand what the big deal was with the other guy, but that's all I wanted to mention. Now, back to you, Ed.
Thank you, Ron. I think that just pretty much nails it down. It's not having it again. It's the monitoring of it, or going one step further down the road to petition is telling somebody what you heard. Okay, let's move on to back to the fan mail pile here. We got a short note from our good friend R up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he says, in regards to February 20th net, Charles of Brentwood, your Connecticut police frequency is Fairfield Police, Fairfield, Connecticut. That doesn't mean a thing to me because I just don't keep everything sorted out by net, but I guess Charles of Brentwood might know what that means. Going into the postcard a little deeper, anyone else see 11 p.m. Channel 4 News Tuesday night? They ran a brief, and I mean brief piece on Chapter 4. The buildup really didn't match content. R is a critic as well as a reporter. The intro or the tease was showing you all the secrets, oddly. They did show clips of the camera in action, Long Island fires, floods, train wreck, traffic jam, winter weather. They showed the two pilots, one guy named Joe Stark. They showed gyrocam, which is 36 times. In other words, that must be magnification. It weighs 160 pounds. In the past, I sent some folks a color print of the original Chopper 4, black and white copy about the two pilots are veterans, but not veteran reporters. They simply tell what they observe from the air and their backup from the studio. If you need a frequency, here it comes. This is what we've waited through. I heard assignments to Chopper 4 on 161.76. Thank you, R, and calm down a little bit. We also have Margaret, who has become quite a good friend of the net, sending along more and more printouts on the frequencies. And what I decided to do was to sort of pick out some of the offbeat frequencies. And again, this is why we say tape record the net, because we can move a lot of information. All right, Suffolk County Police Department, Channel 7, which is the command channel, highway, marine, emergency services, aviation. Frequency is 155.685. Channel 8 might be interesting. It's a low power unit to unit, also known as Channel B, B for Baker, 156.03. Helicopters to hospitals, the frequency. Helicopter to hospital, 155.325. Helicopter to SUNY, SB, and I don't know what the SB stands for. It says public safety. 122.85, and it's used on the approach to the university hospital. All right, moving along, we'll give you about 5-6 more, and then we'll pick up our next checker in her, who is Charlie, very patient Charlie. Moving over to Suffolk County Town and Village Police, unit to unit for all departments. This might be interesting, 156.03. Bell Care, I guess that's the way it's pronounced. I've always read it, but I've never seen it pronounced. BELLETERRE. Frequency is 39.3. East Hampton Town, in case my wife and I go out to Montauk sometime during spring, 155.91. East Hampton Village, 158.94. North Point Village, this will make Betty from North Merrick happy, 155.61. Ocean Beach Village, 155.67. Old Field Village, 39.3. Fort Jefferson Village Public Safety, 470.3125. Riverhead Town, 155.7. Three to go, guys. Sag Harbor Village, 156.21. Saltaire, one word, Saltaire Village, 155.955. And the last one, Shelter Island, 155.85. We will try to give more of these week after week after week. And again, we do thank Margaret for the high postage bills she is incurring, sending all this stuff off to us. Okay, let's go over to Charlie, KB2UVZ in the net, who has info and a query, WB2RVA. Charlie, go.
Any comment?
KB2UVV, good evening, Ed, and everybody on the net. Ed, how do I copy?
We copy you fine. There was a comment in there. I'm going to ask the comment to hold, because Charlie has been waiting for an hour and a half. After Charlie, we will then pick up the comment. Charlie, go. You sound great.
Thanks, Ed. And KB2UVV, good evening to you and everybody on the net, Ed. I got the Radio Shack circular today in the mail, and they just commented they had a couple of scanners here on sale. They have a Pro 2039 200 channel. That's for $199, and they also have the Pro 2026, which looks like the Bearcat 700, I believe. That was part of my question. That if maybe somebody could clarify that, that looks like that scanner is made by Bearcat, and that's on sale for $149, which is $100 off the normal price. So I was wondering if somebody could tell me, is that similar to the Bearcat 700? Okay, I'll let it drop it.
Hey, all right.
ERA recognized. Frank, you have a feeling of deja vu on this, and then we can talk more about it. Over to you, Frank.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I get that feeling, Ed. Kind of like the metal ball that bounces around on the pinball table there. And just one question to Charlie as far as that radio. I think it is the twin sister of the 700A. The buttons are a little different. But the question is, does it start at 29 megs, the low band, or does it start at 30? It starts at 29, it's a unit then. It starts at 30, it's a DRE, that connects.
Okay,
KB2UVV to N2VRA. Yeah, good evening, Frank. Yeah, it receives from 29 to 54 megs, 108 to 174. 406 to 512 and 806 to 956 megs, excluding cellular.
And again, Frank's question, as you heard, does it start at 29 megahertz?
Gotta wait for Ed. Gotta wait for Ed, Charlie. Ed, back to you. Charlie was talking over. Oh, you were here for a minute. Ed, you gotta wait. You gotta wait for Ed to drop it. Ed, this is WWM.
Thank you, Curtis. I appreciate hearing that. Okay. Well, it says, Curtis, that's Charlie. Usually what you do when the other person is talking, I wasn't, you don't talk. No. When the other station is talking, the best thing to do is to wait for that kind of, it's not a click, but there's a certain noise that you hear when the other person has stopped transmitting. So let me send it back to you, Charlie, and why don't you pick it up where you can. The basic question that Frank brought up, and I just repeated, was, is the scanner that you're talking about, does that coverage start at 29 megahertz? Over to you, Charlie.
Thank you, Ed. This is KB2UVV. My inexperience is showing. Sorry to you and everybody on the net. I'll be more careful next time. Frank, it does start at 29 megs. It does, and it goes up to 956, excluding cellular. Okay. I'll give it back to the net, WB2RVA. This is KB2UVV.
All right, let me just throw a few thoughts in. You heard me, Charlie, when I turned it over to Frank, and I said, does it sound like deja vu? I think about, what, maybe two or three nets ago, we kind of got, I think, this flyer that you have in front of you and I've got in front of me. This is pretty close to what Radio Shack sent out about 3 weeks ago. And let me just comment on some of the scanners that are in there. I think the one scanner that, and again, I don't have the pro numbers on them, and even with my glasses on, I just don't read it that well. The one for $149 is like the big brother to the Bearcat beast, to the BC-358, and that's got the 100 channels, the programmable memory, and it's got the pre-programmed police, fire, air, marine, and so forth. So if you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Bearcat 358, that's one of the favorite scanners on the net. And the only problem with the $149 radio is that they really don't seem to give you too much with it. For example, you buy the scanner, but if you want to use it at home, they suggest that you buy an AC adapter. Whereas if you bought the Bearcat 358, especially when you're buying it, those factory refurbished ones, they only run $80. And, of course, they don't have the 800 megahertz range. But they come with everything. They come with mobile power supply, with actually two mobile power supplies, the AC power supply. They come with a mobile antenna and so forth. So on the surface, some of these things look like real bargains, but then when you get deeper into it, sometimes they leave a little bit to be desired. The other one that you were talking about, I think, was the one for $200, and it says save 120, and that's 200 channels and 800 megahertz and so forth and so on. I think you just have to look into these things a little more carefully sometimes. Sometimes there are real bargains out there, and you can get them at Radio Shack. Sometimes you have to look a little bit deeper. Let me just send it back to Frank VRA for any follow-up comments Frank might have to what I've just said. WB2RVR.
Thank you, Ed. I don't have the brochure in front of me. It seems that the $250,000 I spent in that store, I'm not worth getting a brochure. You need to get one in Sunday's paper. Yeah, well, I'm kind of like you in a way. When service merchandise arrives, I flip to the electronics first time. Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a mounting bracket that comes with this also for $20. Oh, that's another optional accessory. I'm also a little in question as to the type of radio we're exactly talking about here. I know last week we mentioned that the radio, you mentioned 100 channels, Ed. And now I'm thinking about the twins of the 760XLT. Is that the mobile radio? Is that the one that he's talking about right now? That's the Radio Shack version of the 760XLT? Or is he talking about the Radio Shack version of the Bearcat 700A? That's my question. I don't have the pro numbers in front of me, and like I don't have a catalog. Maybe you could just comment on that quickly. And about the mobile bracket also. Thank you.
Okay, Frank, I'm going to turn over to John. This is starting to be like the other question. Charlie was very patient for an hour and a half, and I'm going to be just as patient with him. Charlie, the radio that you're looking at in the flyer, and you did mention 149, Does it have that little thing over it that says includes 800 megahertz police, fire, and VHF aircraft bands? And does it, in the copy of the description, does it say just touch buttons to scan, preset police, fire, and so forth? Over to you, Charlie.
KB2UVV? Yeah, Ed. That's exactly the one. And what I did, I cross-referenced it to my Radio Shack catalog by a number that is number 20-148RF, which in the catalog is the Pro 2026. Yeah, it says in little red letters up bottom, Ed Mogul or home antenna. The home use an AC adapter, so you do have to buy it additionally. And Frank, it doesn't mention anything about a mounting bracket for a car. Okay, let me give it back to the next WCLVA.
You
gotta
buy an
you have to buy it and put it on. Charlie, just to go back to Frank, I think we are talking, Frank, about the Bearcat something or other, but this is the one that has, instead of the Bearcat 350A has 50 channels, this one has 100 channels, and it also does the 806 to 956 search, which the Bearcat 350A doesn't do. Charlie, it would strike me that the 149 figure looks attractive, but when you start looking into the prices of, I'm sure that you have to buy a mobile bracket too. Maybe I'm wrong. But you've got to get a mobile bracket, you've got to get a home antenna, a mobile antenna, a mobile power supply possibly, and definitely an AC adapter for the home. So maybe this is not exactly what you're looking for. Back to you, Charlie.
Yeah, it's this KB2UVV. I just got the current blog. And in the Grove catalog, they also sell the Pro 2026 with the mounting bracket. And it says in the catalog, it says it's features, has the major features of the popular BC760 XLP, but it's designed for mobile base operation. The Bearcat accessories will not work with the Pro 2026. An AC adapter is required for fixed operation. And the price in the Grove catalog is $219.95. Okay, let me give it back to you, Ed, to WB2RVA. This is KB2UVV.
Thank you, Charlie. Okay, I guess you can tell by what Curtis said, what I'm saying, what Frank said. Maybe this is, at least that rig is maybe not exactly what you want in view of all the things that you probably have to buy with it. The other one, the scanner with two, the portable, the handheld, 200 channels, 800 megahertz VHF. As the ad says, they brought it down $120 in price. That's something that you might be interested in looking at. One of the great things about Radio Shack, though, is that you can go into the store, you can buy it, and then bring it home, and after you look at it, out of the box and so forth, if you don't like it, you can then bring it back to Radio Shack. So I think probably the easiest answer to this is if you see something that looks attractive to you, and if it's within your price range, why don't you go in, get it, bring it home, look it over, try it out, and if it's not what you want, just bring it back. Back to you, Charlie.
Okay, very good. I agree. Yeah, I've had pretty good luck with Radio Shack stuff. So I just bought the 2036, which is the clone to the Bearcat 890 XLT. And, yeah, so far I'm satisfied with it. It was on sale for $249, and
It being I'm spending so much money over there, he gave it to me for $220. And so far, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, it's not the best scanner in the world, but for the price, you know, I can get the military aircraft frequencies in. But it's you know, we'll give it a try. I'm pretty satisfied with it. Okay, let me give it back to you, WB2RVA. This is KB2UVV.
CRA, quick comment, please.
Okay, Frank, stand by for one quick second. Charlie, I've got at least four Radio Shack scanners. I've got the 2-meter transceiver, got the 440 transceiver. I'm very happy with the equipment that I have. All that I'm saying is, you know, just look at something. And again, that's a great policy to be able to go in, buy something, try it out. If you don't like it, you can bring it back. Let's go over to Frank into VRA and the net and WB2RVA. Frank, stretch it a little bit. I got to go fill my glass of water. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ed. You know, I'm frantically going through my pages over here. I just wanted to bring up an item of interest, which I had gone into a Radio Shack store, I guess, about a month ago. And I know I mentioned this on the net, but I'm looking for my notes over here, and I'm trying to give you the exact number. And being long-winded at the same time, another two pages here, and then let me drop. Okay, anyway, my comments, and can't seem to find it. When it's Radio Shack, there's a new scanner out. It's not in any of the catalogs. And it's a mimic of the Sportcat Uniden. It doesn't really look like the Sportcat. It's really an attractive scanner. It's got a lot of nice curves on it. But it's one of those scanners where you can set up like the Sportcat was designed for, let's say, a race car environment. Or perhaps an air show where you have 10 channels you can hit direct. You put these 10 in there, buttons 1 to 10, and you can just keep pushing and following the action, so to speak. I haven't had that experience. But I don't remember the number. That's what I was looking for. And it's an outrageous price for this thing. The Sportcat goes for somewhere around $179, but I've seen it for $159. And this radio is a direct competitor to work against the Sportcat, and it is available at the Radio Shack in Patchogue, which is on Sunrise Highway in Waverly. It's been there for a while in the showcase, but it's not in any catalog, and it's kind of strange. You know, last year, let me drop quick. I'm getting long-winded. Last year, there was another scanner that had come out. It was 20 channels. It had a pre-programmed band search, not a service search, but a like segmented band search, which was already installed in the radio, and you could use that to search up or down or within the program limits of the search. It's crazy. And they had the numbers, which there was no display of frequencies on this radio. It was just like the old type where they had channels 1 to 10, you would press the review button. I'm sure we're familiar with that. You press the review button and the channel kind of spits out at you in blips. You know, like 1, 4, 6, 8, 0, 5, takes forever. Well, anyway, this particular display, the zero, if you were on 10 or whatever, no, when it went into start, it went into search mode, it had like the letter Z on it. And the LCD display would either go in circles to the left if you were searching up, or go in circles to the right if you were searching down. Ah, this is some radio. I don't have the exact number for it, but it wasn't in the catalog, and I don't think it sells too well. But this is a competitor for the Sportcat, and it's quite interesting, but it's way overpriced. I think it's somewhere around $269. It's almost $100 more than what the Sportcat sells for. Anyway, that was my interjection there, Ed. I hope you've had your water, and perhaps you're going back for a second one. WB2RVA N2VRA. Back to you.
Thanks, Frank. No, I have a tall glass here. The voice is holding up pretty well tonight. Well, we seem to have slipped into the product side and getting away from the short wave. Not only short wave. I'll be okay. Getting away
from the scanner side, and of course we will get into the shortwave in a few moments, but we do have Curtis still with info, checked in with info, so we want to pick him up. But while we're talking about products just for the moment, I don't know if you've got the CVS, the pharmacy, drugstore, CVS pharmacy, sent flyers out, and they have a real, and I mean real, battery sale. And this is this goes to March 9th. As soon as I got this Sunday morning, I went out to CVS and loaded up on batteries. Now, hear this, 8 packs of AA batteries, or even AAA, an 8-pack of AA batteries on sale, $1.99. I picked up around 5 packages. I also picked up some AAAs for other uses that I have. But you figure that breaks down to 25 cents a battery. And you may say, well, these are CVS, they're not Eveready's and so forth. They all probably come from the same factory. So if you want to stock up on batteries, the CVS through March 9th. If you want C or D batteries, the 4-pack goes for the same price, $1.99. If you want 9 volts, a 2-pack goes for $1.99. So, looks good. And I have increased my battery holdings, WB2RVA. Let's go over to Curtis, who has info into WWM. Take it away.
Like he sold me into WWM. I got to get a couple D batteries myself for my Maglite. Head. Come to think of it, I could stock up on a couple AAs too for my pager. Alright, I was looking for that Eastgate thing. My eyes are like blinded now, looking in a police call. The small print, the business one. But maybe they go under another service. That may be another thing. Going back a step. To where Charlie left off. Yeah, I got my circular today in the mail too. And I'm not gonna give you all the scanner stuff, but if you look at page 9, it's not on sale, but it's the portable amplifier shortwave antenna. Grove, if you got your new Grove book, which I got this week, March 1st to April 30th, got the Bearcat 3000 on the front, Frank. The amplifier for the shortwave antenna, Grover, has a new price for $19.95. New low price. So they take one step ahead of the shack. There's some other interesting items in there. Got the 2-meter amplifier on sale again for $100. And let me just mention to you on this, GMRS radios all coming down in price. I seen a 10-channel, let me drop it to WWM, a 10-channel Motorola. For about $160, and I also saw an 8-channel for about $160, and now I see that Radio Shack has one in there. I think it's I don't know how many channels. Don't say. Four channels maybe for $179. So you got to really look around, and they say it's designed, the Radio Shack one, they say it's designed by Motorola, but you got to get the most channels for your money, as they say. To WWM, we got some more here. A little bit. They also have the TV amplifier on sale again for $20. At the shack, that you can modify and Bob up in Connecticut says it works great for him. And I never got to do anything with mine. I don't even know where it is. It's someplace still in the box. What was I going to say? we always talked about the Rolodexes, and for those of you that want to give it a shot, on page 29, they have a small little one for $7. It doesn't really hold a lot. It only holds up to 50 names. But, you know, try it out. Throw a couple frequencies in there, and for your memory, those are that you would like to remember and don't want to forget. The Rolodex organizer is a pretty good deal in the catalog this month. Now, for those of you that don't have one, that like to play with one. And another one over here, they have that's interesting for the folks that are handicapped in any way. A talking organizer that announces the phone numbers. They brought the price down on that to $25. And I think that one gives you the time, the day. Does a whole lot of stuff. But I don't know if it talks all that stuff, but it at least announces the phone numbers out loud to you. And that's in there as well. That's about it here, Ed. And the net's really working out pretty good this way, I think. Back to net control, N2WWM.
Thank you, Curtis. First of all, for the information and the comments, and number two, yes, I think it's by working out this way, I believe what Curtis means is we've sort of broken it into segments, and we do the scanner first, and in a moment we'll switch over to product, and then we'll switch over to DXAM, and then we'll switch over to short wave. And, of course, one of the big things tonight, too, is that we not only had a good number of check-ins, but we had a real strong number of people who checked into the net with info, query, or comment. Just counting quickly, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people checked in with info, query, or comment, and we had an additional about 4 or 5 or 6 people who jumped in with answers, comments, and so forth on the various items which were brought up, especially the one about cellular frequencies and in the scanner. So we had real good participation, favorite words, tonight. Are there any other stations that have checked in that have yet to be called on with info, query, or a comment? If so, please let me know. Okay, so it's not. Let's now move into the product side. And the product side, I know because he told me that Frank has product information. Are there any other stations? Just give us your call letters and we'll put you in line. Any other stations that have product information, either info, query, or a comment? All right. The vast listening audience will be handling some of that stuff, too. Let's go over to Frank, N2VRA, with information on product. Frank, take it away.
Thank you, Ed, N2VRA. Basically, an update of a rehash. That's what I have here. Again, we're talking about the 350A. You know, Don's going to kill me out there, N2TVA, if he's listening. Okay. It was advertised in Kmart. My Kmart didn't have it, never heard of it. They don't know what it is. But they just have a couple of scanners over there that they put on sale once in a while, the 60 XLT and the 560 XLT, simple scanners, usually for around $89 or $99. But anyway, my info is this, that the 350A is available at Walmart in Center Ridge, Long Island. It's on 25A, I believe, Middle Country Road. And they've got a slew of them up there. They're $99.99. And the clerk told me they had approximately 75 units in stock. And this unit is no longer going to be manufactured. This thing is out as far as Uniden is concerned. Whatever's out there, that's it. When they're gone, they're gone. There's no more being made. One other comment. In the automotive department, they have the upgraded $29.95 version of the famous MVP Power Pack. And we all know about that. The only difference between the basic power pack, the MVP, which most of us purchased, and this updated version is that on the back where you store the lighter plug, there's a little compartment. That compartment is not there. In place of that is a fluorescent light. So for another $10, you get a fluorescent light on the rear. And the Price Club in Holbrook is completely sold out of these MVPs. I don't know how the one is on 110, if they have any left. And that MVP, by the way, stands for multi-volt power supply. That's pretty much what it was. And that's just, I just wanted to bring that out, Ed, about the upgraded version available at Walmart and the 350A's winding down over there at $99.99. WB2REA N2VRA, I'll be listening out, Ed. Great net. Back to you.
Thank you, Frank. Don't go listening out too quickly. We have some product information here, too, which came in the mail. And I just want to touch on some items quickly. The first one, I think, in the packet is the most important. And it's one of our listeners who is a great participant. He has a query about a product. He said, I was wondering if this Tuesday you could ask the guys on the net what they thought of the AR-8000 handheld receiver. Frequency range is 5 to 1900 megahertz, 20 banks of 50 equals 1000 channels. The mode AM, narrow FM, wide FM, CW, upper sideband, lower sideband. And Frank, just to let you know, people are thinking about you. He goes on. He, by the way, is Eddie from Cedarhurst, who is just sending great stuff in. He says, I know Frank from Holbrook feels that there are a lot of sacrifices and compromises made on these wideband receivers. But Grove sells it new for $600. I know, Eddie is saying, I know someone who bought it in England so his kids sell to it. And it was a gift for his dad when he got home. The dad died. I can get standby. Well, I heard something here. When he got home, the dad died. I can get it for $450 with the converter to convert European electric to U.S. current. So a $600 radio at Grove, Ed can get it for $450. Does anybody have any comments or any knowledge of the AOR AR-8000 handheld receiver?
ARA.
Go.
Okay, Ed. Well, it would take me probably a half hour to explain the whole radio, but I'll just go briefly as quickly as I can. I've decided it's not for me as far as personal scanning and preference. I bought the 3000 XLT. I find it the 3000 is a much easier radio to operate. It's a much simpler radio for a simple person like myself. I don't like too many bells and whistles. I want to get on the radio. I want to work it. I don't want a 125-page owner's manual with all these options and things to do. If you really want to spend the time with your radio, fall in love with your radio. And for that price, you should be in love with your radio. Get to know your radio very well, and I guess you'll enjoy your radio, the AOR 8000. And I've seen good reviews. I've seen bad reviews. I have mixed emotions on the radio. A radio of that size cannot effectively do a really good job of receiving that entire range that it does. There's compromises throughout in its design. It is a very good radio. Don N2CVH has one. I've held one in my hand. I've checked it out. I'm impressed with the radio. I like it. But personally, it's not for me. I also understand that if the radio is in that Grove sells, perhaps, if I'm correct, and I think I am, that when you purchase that radio, if you did, for $599, the entire 800 to 900 segment is out of the radio. So before you even get to turn it on, you're going to have to send it back to Grove and get that 800 to 900 meg restored. If you ever want to listen to trunk system, that's one comment. Let me just drop it for a second. Okay, so again, I feel personally, this is my own personal opinion, I felt the radio wasn't for me. I've seen very good things about it. There's a number of articles that were written in U.S., I believe it was U.S. Scanner News, on a monthly basis, which felt they had a series running on the AOR 8000. They talked about some faults in the radio. There's some questionable operations in the owner's manual that have to be fixed up a little bit so that the user can interpret what the owner's manual is telling you. There's a couple of glitches in the owner's manual printing. And 50 channels in one bank is a lot. So it's if you wanted to set up a certain service, I guess you'd have to put some lockouts in there. It's a very, very different radio from radios that we know, the Uniden line and the Realistic line. These radios we simply...